On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tedbert Automotive Group, Tedbert Ford and Chantilly and Fairfax, your F-150 HQ, Tedbert Lincoln and Chantilly, and Tedbert Chevrolet and Sterling, all home to Tedbert for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tedbert.com.
Jay, what a couple of days of football. First time we've ever had four games in a round decided by 4 points or fewer. Not too bad.
Yeah, it was very exciting. Lots of things happening. I mean, what else could you ask for? I was down here in Jacksonville. It was a hell of a game. I didn't go to it, but I was at a sports bar watching it, and everybody's disappointed, but Josh Allen, man, he's a Superman, that's for sure. It was fun to watch all the games.
It was great. We're going to get into all four that have been played, as well as, or five that have been played, I should say, as well as the game tonight. But I actually want to start with the Commanders news. How surprised are you that with his back against the wall, and in some ways his career kind of on the line going into this season, Dan Quinn is turning to a 30-year-old who's never been a position coach to be his new OC, build his own offense, and to be his play caller for the first time?
I am very surprised, especially for a defensive head coach. It would be different if it was an offensive head coach. When I hired Sean McVay, I was an offensive guy. I did a lot of the game planning, a lot of the preparation, play sheets, all that stuff. Sean was only 28, I think, at the time, but we worked together. Being a defensive head coach, he's not going to have that somebody to lean on. He's got to do it on his own. He's never made a game plan. He's never called a play. He's never handled blitz pickups and third down short yardage, everything you have to do. So I am very surprised he went this route. Obviously, Anthony Lynn will help out a lot in the running game if he's still there. But very shocking to me to hire a 30-year-old kid who's never called a play, especially when you have a quarterback like Jaden Daniels.
Jay, what I want to get into, the element of it I think that people kind of overlook, especially neophytes like myself. You became the OC in Cincinnati in 2011. Before that, obviously, you're coaching, you're working your way up, et cetera. He's skipping a lot of steps because, he's very well thought of. But what was the time like before you had Jay Gruden's offense? Like, as you're developing it, you've got your influences, your different schools, and you want to decide, this is how I'm going to do personnel groupings. This is how I'm going to do, certain play packages and designs. And this is what I'm going for here. This is my identity. What was that process like that you could then sell people on that vision for you to land the OC job?
Yeah, that's the hardest part, is to sell not only your players, but you got to sell the coaches you're working with, because he skipped over a lot of very good seasonal coaches to be offensive coordinator on that staff, like an Anthony Lynn. So now he's got to convince him that his system is better than what Anthony would have brought to the table. So it's going to be a process, I promise you that. He's got to figure out, is he going to want to do more under center stuff like they did at Detroit when he was there, the play pass, the running game, the power, the duo, all the gap scheme runs. Is that going to be his identity? Is he going to stick with what Cliff did? A lot of success he had with Jaden his first year, he can't just overlook that, because they went to the NFC Championship game and Jaden was the best rookie quarterback in the history of football. So there's got to be some elements of Cliff Kingsbury's offense. So he's got to figure out how he wants to be identified as, what type of guy he wants to be. So it'll be interesting to see. I have no idea what his plan is.
Jay, you said you were a little surprised that they hired Blau, quote, especially when you have a quarterback like Jaden Daniels, end quote. What did you mean by that part? Just that it's a good job that people would want, or what did you mean?
I just wish they would have gotten a little bit more experience. Maybe they'll hire a senior offensive assistant, I don't know, that can help them out along the way. Just because, younger coaches, there's nothing wrong with them. If you have a senior, if you have a head coach, it's an offensive guy. Like a Matt LaFleur hired an offensive coordinator, 28-year-old offensive coordinator, but he's still calling plays. If Kevin O'Connell hires a 28-year-old, it's okay. But a head coach, a defensive head coach to do this is weird to me. I mean, he's never gone against some of the defensive coordinators he's going to play next year. Whereas an experienced offensive coordinator, he knows the system at Minnesota. He knows the system at Green Bay. He knows the system at Philadelphia and Dallas and all that stuff. So this guy is going to be very, very raw and new. And it's not an easy job to put together a game plan, especially if you've never done it in the NFL level.
The staffing part of this is really compelling. I think oftentimes, and you could speak to this maybe, but the O-line coach is one of the most important in the building. I remember you had Bill Callahan at the end, but there are guys around the league that get paid like coordinators, or even sometimes like head coaches almost, to be O-line coaches, because they handle so much in terms of the protections and the run game. The only guy they fired here other than Kingsbury was the O-line coach, which was weird to me. But that hire feels significant, and I just wonder what his network is like, who he knows. Can you go into the importance of the staffing and how much that's going to make or break him here?
Well, you're exactly right. Who does he know? He's 28, 29, 30 years old. He's only been on a couple staffs before. So he's worked with the O-line coach here, who they just fired. So where is he going to pluck his next guy? He doesn't know anybody these seven or eight cities that lost their jobs. You know, maybe Dan Quinn does, and he'll have to introduce them. So he'll be working with a guy he's never worked with before, and that is a tough deal. When I got the job at Cincinnati, I had to work with an offensive line coach I never met before, and had to sell him on my system, and it's not easy. Offensive line coaches are tough to deal with now. They're stubborn. They're set in their ways. So that'll be an interesting element where they're going to go get one and what type of offense they're going to run. I'll be anxious to see it, but it's no easy task to pair up an offensive coordinator and offensive line coach that get along. Doesn't happen all the time.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. What about the Jaden Daniels angle of this? Kind of where does he fit in? This seems like a way to kind of say, hey, this is, you know, you have to learn a new system, but it might be easier than just, you know, going in blind.
Yeah, maybe he had a lot of say in it. Maybe he had a lot of respect for Blau, and he said, you know what, I think he can do it. You know, it's just a little odd to me to let the quarterback in a second year pick the offensive coordinator. It's a very important position, especially when your head coach is a defensive guy. I can't stress that enough. So it is you're having a third-year quarterback pick your offensive coordinator who's never called plays before. It's an interesting dynamic, that is for sure.
Do you get why they did it? Like, I am excited by the possibility and the upside here, because I think just generally the ascending young offensive mind is more interesting to me than like a, you know, retread who's been around the block forever. I mean, do you get what they're thinking, or do you just dislike the idea altogether?
Yeah, obviously he feels like he has a high ceiling and he thinks he can do some great things and has a great relationship with Jade, and that goes a long way. So it could be a great hire. You know, I just don't know how he's going to, you know, we'll have to wait and see. You know, this kid's obviously very bright, but there's a lot of bright 45, 50-year-old guys who have been in the league for a long time, done a lot of great things. So Coach Quinn could have gone a lot of different directions. There are a lot of good people available. I'm just very surprised he went with one guy who never called plays. But he does have a relationship with Jaden, so I guess that's the selling point that he's going to sell to the rest of the Washington fan base.
It obviously is going to, you know, depend on the quarterback and a million different things in between, Jay. But typically, how long does it take before – say a new coordinator, new quarterback, how long does it take before it becomes natural and normal and seamless and just everything makes sense to everybody? Like, how long does it take to make that marriage work?
Well, it depends on the people around them. You know, is he going to have a great staff? They're all going to have to buy in. You know, they just fired Cliff and the line coach for a reason. Maybe they didn't like the system. The GM, Adam Peters, and Dan Quinn wanted him to have a different system, but he hired a guy who learned from Cliff Kingsbury, and that's the system he knows. That's a little odd to me as well. So if you want to fire Cliff, wouldn't you want to hire a guy who's running a different system that you want to use? He hired a guy that's running Cliff's system. So maybe David has his own way of doing things. He's going to do things differently. But, you know, I don't know the situation if it'll work or not, but, you know, It's exciting. It's going to be exciting to see a young kid calling plays for the first time.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. Big, big deal how that works out this year for Washington. All right, let's bounce around the NFL playoffs. We can go in the order of the games. Rams end up surviving the Panthers. I think a lot of people felt like maybe the storyline here was just how competitive Carolina was. Matt Stafford throws for 300 yards in a win on the road for a fourth straight playoff victory. What'd you make of this game?
Panthers played their ass off. I mean, they've done it all year. They've had their ups and downs. They played great. They played terrible. They played great. They played terrible. This time they played good again. Their defense is very competitive. The corner, Jackson, and obviously Horner, very, very good players. And they did their part in trying to keep the game close. And obviously, you know, the team with the best player, Matthew Stafford, rose to the occasion and made big plays at the end.
So next game in sequence, what do you make of Green Bay, Chicago? The, you know, how Green Bay had that one seemed dead to rights, and once again, Chicago up off the mat to win it.
Yeah, and that's been Chicago all year. You know, I think, and a lot of people can't understand the importance of field goal kicking in the playoffs. You have to have a clutch field goal kicker, and McManus missed an extra point and a short field goal that cost Green Bay. And that's the case in the playoffs. You got to have a good kicking game. And Green Bay did not have one. Chicago did. And Chicago made unbelievable plays down the stretch like they did all year. I think they had six fourth quarter come from behind victories. And they made it seven in the playoffs. And can't say enough about Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson, what they've done this year.
What's your take on the discourse around Matt LaFleur? Seems like overwhelmingly the Packers fan base, media thinks he should be fired. Sounds like he could be headed for an extension because he's going into the last year of his deal. They've had a ton of success. He's done a really good job with their quarterbacks. But in the playoffs, it's gone badly and often in really, really disastrous fashion like this.
Yeah, I just don't know how you're going to find another guy replacement unless you go like the veteran Jim, if they have John Harbaugh sitting there in the wings. That would be the only replacement that would make sense to me if they had Harbaugh on the waiting list, if they got rid of LaFleur. I think he's done some good things, and they have a young quarterback, and I think they have a young offense too. You know, you got a lot of young receivers. They have a young tight end that got hurt, but they're a very, very good football team, very competitive year in and year out. And I think when you have success and you're continued every year, even though you're not winning playoff games, I think you got to keep your head coach because you're right there. I think they're ready to kick the door, and I think Jordan Love's going to get better and better.
So hard to argue with anything you just said there, Jay, but what did you make of that sequence there? When they're winning, they got the game in hand. At a minimum, you got to make Chicago use all their timeouts, but they called a timeout of their own, then had a delay of game, and they're throwing incompletions six ways from Sunday. It just seemed like they didn't have much interest in keeping that lead or even making it harder on Chicago, who had all the momentum right there.
Yeah, that wasn't the best sequence in Matt LaFleur's career. And I think last year a couple years ago, they kicked a field goal at 4th and 10, down 7, never got the ball back. So he's had a couple questionable calls in the postseason that have haunted him a little bit. But still, I think his overall success as a Green Bay Packers is pretty well documented. I think he should get an extension personally. But yeah, you never know in this league, hell.
What's your take on Ben Johnson, A, like not shaking Matt LaFleur's hand in a professional way, and then B, cursing out the Packers in the locker room with the cameras rolling after the game? He basically said yesterday, that's our rival. It needs to be a rivalry. But from day one at his press conference, he like called out LaFleur. He didn't know, said he can't wait to beat him twice. Both the handshakes have been super icy. It's a weird relationship. And then he's, you know, cursing about Green Bay. He's clearly decided that he thinks this is what's best for business to kind of make this a thing with the Packers. But what do you make about that and kind of the perceived lack of professionalism?
Yeah, that seems a little odd and distasteful in my mind. You know, it's the game's over. No need to rub it in and kick guys while they're down. It was a very competitive game, very competitive season for the Green Bay Packers. And it was a gut-wrenching loss for them. The kicker missed the extra point and the field goal and had some mismanagement of the clock. And then to kick them while they're down is unprofessional, in my opinion. He's a very competitive guy. He likes the rivalry. I get that. During the game, you yell whatever you want to yell. But after the game, man, shake their hands and give them the respect they deserve. That was unnecessary in my mind.
So I put it into two categories, Jay. I want your thoughts. Be an adult, be a pro. You shake hands, you're courteous, cordial. You should do that. Be a gentleman. I mean, that's at the end of the day. We're not at war here. You know what I mean? Like there's a decorum to it. I got no problem with trying to, you know, build your group up if you've been kind of little sisters of the poor in a division and trying to, you know, make a rivalry heated or give your team goals or kind of internally whatever you need. I don't really have an issue with that. Like if you'd come in here as the coach and be like, first thing the most important to me is we got to beat Dallas. It would have been catnip for all the fans, you know? Like, I know you guys don't think that way in your pros, but I don't have a problem with kind of heating up the rivalry there. Do you separate those? Is it all out of the same thing?
Yeah, that's not bad at all. I don't mind that either. Right. If you're going to pump up the rivalry in that fashion, that's what you should do. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys, Washington Redskins, or Commanders, that is the rivalry you have to win. You have to win that, and that's nothing wrong with promoting that. I'm just talking about after the game. You don't need to not shake his hand and then, you know, scream at the Packers or whatever it is in the locker room, you know. So pregame, preseason, sure, hype it up. But after the game, shake their hands and give them the respect they deserve. That's all.
Jay Gruden on the air with us on Grant and Danny. He'll be with us throughout the postseason on Mondays here on The Fan at 3 p.m. All right, let's go to the Sunday games. You mentioned Josh Allen and what an epic performance he had to beat the Jaguars. Do you feel like Buffalo's good enough to run the table here? Defensively, they gave up almost 7 yards per play. They got gashed on the ground. Allen ended up in a performance where he didn't really make any big mistakes being able to carry them. It just feels like they have very little margin for error here.
I agree. I think the better team lost that football game. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars were a better all-around football team, but the kicker is this Josh Allen guy. So anytime he walks on the field, they have a chance to win, and Denver's strength is not running the football, and that's Buffalo's weakness. So I think Buffalo will have a great chance to knock off Denver as well with Josh at quarterback. So this guy is a special human being now. I mean, Coach McDermott hit the gold mine when he got Josh Allen on his team. He'll have a job forever. He's a hell of a player, man, and I would never count out Josh Allen-led football team, especially with Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson out of the mix.
Let's go to that Niners-Eagles game. What'd you make of it? Philadelphia, second half offensive struggles just seems to be the norm now, and San Francisco, despite everybody being hurt pretty much, made just enough plays there.
Yeah, Philadelphia looked like they were game one preseason install. I mean, everything is very, very vanilla. You know, weak inside zone, 4 verticals, blah, 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 hitches on the outside. They have no creativity, and they haven't had it all year. They've been inconsistent on offense, and everybody's been waiting. Well, you got A.J. Brown, you got Smith, you got Goddard, you got Bate Barkley. They're going to turn it on. They never turned it on. You know, their offensive line wasn't as good as last year, and they have no creativity. So I don't know how anybody expected them to all of a sudden come playoff time, we're going to turn it on. They couldn't. 49ers played good. Christian McCaffrey, Kyle did a great job getting the ball to his best player, and they over and over and over again. If we're going to go down, we're going to go down giving it to Christian McCaffrey, and that's how you're going to beat the San Fran 49ers. You better stop that guy somehow.
Would you bring A.J. Brown back if you're Philly?
No, I think his time is done, really. I think he's got to go. I mean, there's too much controversy every week. He's reading books. He's griping and moaning, yelling at Sirianni. I think it's time to go. I think they got to find another weapon on the outside and try to get something for A.J., maybe first, second, or third-round draft pick, and try to get better in that regard. I think sometimes, you know, the emotions can carry over onto the field, but when it happens over and over again, I think you have to make a change.
They're not getting rid of Sirianni, and they shouldn't. I mean, No. He's had a ton of success. I personally think he was kind of boxed his way into getting hired on third base, and Howie Roseman's given him one of the best rosters of the era. But that said, he just had too much success. He's not going anywhere, obviously. They need a new offensive coordinator. What offense gets Jalen Hurts going? Like, he was incredible in a couple Super Bowls. They won a title. He's a winning player. But I've always felt like he's a very limited passer and obvious passing downs. Is there a way that you think they should build things to get more out of him? Because this year was not pretty.
Yeah, no, I think a couple things. Sometimes the quarterback doesn't want a lot of things, and sometimes he can't handle the motions and the shifts and all that stuff too hard on him. You know, he just wants to have plain vanilla looks, and he feels comfortable in those simple plays, and that could be on the quarterback. Maybe the coordinator wanted to put in stuff, and Jalen's like, no, I don't want that, you know. So they have to find a common ground. You know, if they get a new offensive coordinator, they have to find a common ground, but they have to utilize formations and motions and try to get matchups and give Jalen some pre-snap indicators so he knows what the coverage is and attack defenses. Right now they're letting defenses attack them instead of vice versa. They have too many good players to be as stagnant and vanilla as they are in offense.
Jay, let's go to the Patriots-Chargers. I still think Justin Herbert's excellent. You'd have a hard time knowing it. I mean, he's just fighting for his life back there, you know, dodging just free rushers, it feels like. Everything was with his legs. Nobody felt like they were open the whole night. Credit to the Patriots. Obviously, they got paid to play, too. But to me, that was more about what the Chargers couldn't do.
Yeah, they have no offensive linemen. They have receivers that don't separate. They can't protect. So, good luck, Justin.
Yeah, other than that, right?
It takes 6 sacks. He had 10 carries for 50 yards. That's the only offense they had. They have no running game. So, it's all on him right now, and they have to do a better job. They got to get their tackles back. They have Slater and the rookie they had, that's a special player, both got hurt. So, they got to get those guys back, and I think they'll be okay. But they need some help at wideout, that's for sure. They need some speed, for God's sakes.
We know 3 of the 4 games for next weekend already. Patriots will play the last game Sunday evening, and they're either going to play the winner of tonight's game, the Texans or the Steelers. But we have the first 3, which is Bills at Broncos, 49ers at Seahawks, and then the Rams at the Bears. Which of those 3 games are you most confident in? Like, you had to bet a money line winner on one of those 3 games. Which are you most sure about?
Probably the Seahawks, because I think that Seattle, they've well rested. They lost, San Fran just lost Kittle. That's going to hurt their running game a little bit, and I think they're going to do a good job of slowing down McCaffrey. And they have Seattle has a lot of ways they can hurt you with Kenneth Walker and Charbonnet, whatever his name is, and obviously Smith and Jigba. I'm a little concerned about, you know, the quarterback. He has not performed very well in big games. Sam Darnold hasn't. But I think they have a much better team, overall team. Defensively, they're a special group, and I think they can do enough to slow down Purdy in the 49er offense.
Preview tonight, what do you think? Pittsburgh just somehow here. Again, Mike Tomlin is always in the postseason, always with a winning record. Houston probably the better team on paper, but it's in Pittsburgh. What do you think?
Houston's got the best defense I've seen in a while. You know, I think they can hit you. They play fast and they play hard. I think they have enough people in the secondary that can handle DK Metcalf, for God's sakes. They got to slow down Jalen Warren and obviously Gainwell, and I think they can do that. I think Texans get it done. Pittsburgh has stepped up their defense the last few weeks. They're playing better. They're at home. I understand that. But I think the Texans are a really, really good football team that not many people want to play because they play hard, they play fast, they play physical on defense. They take the ball away. And if they continue that trend, they'll be too much for Pittsburgh.
Jay, when you were coaching, I don't know if you saw the comment where the very nice lady said to Liam Cohen to keep his head up and you're a real one. You're the guy. You're going to take us to the promised land. Did you see that?
No, I did not see that.
Well, there was a reporter in the press conference in Jacksonville who basically, you know, she got the mic and she just said, hey, you know, you're a sweet man and you're the best coach we've had and you're a real one. Keep your head up. I'm just wondering, after bad losses or tough times, did Chris Russell or anybody just give you a little
pep talk? Did that ever happen?
In a press conference?
No, never happened. No, never happened. I just got, ripped by the media, you guys and the fans and all that stuff. That's okay, though. I deserved it. But, Liam Cohen, if he goes 3-14 next year, I'll bet that same lady will say he should be fired. So it is a year-to-year league, that's for sure. You got to perform at a very high level on a consistent basis. Otherwise, you will be on the phone talking to Grant and Danny.
That's and nobody right. wants hey, that.
There's nothing wrong with talking to Grant and Danny on the phone.
Yeah,
though,
I'm so glad I get the opportunity to do it. I keep talking football, and it's been a blast. But, it's a tough game, and they did have a great year. I was very impressed with what Liam Cohen did at Jacksonville.
I was too.
Three head coaching offers have come in, and Jay said, no, I don't want to stop talking
I'd rather do G&D.
To Grant and Danny. We appreciate that.
I probably would say that. There's absolutely no chance I would either get an offer or take an offer. So.
which is less likely, the getting the offer or the accepting of the offer?
Yeah, they're both about 0.0%.
Amazing.
Hey, we'll have you as long as you'll keep coming back for more. Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, Jay.
You got it. Thank you, guys.
Be good, brother. There's Jay Gruden. He's the best.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tebbert Automotive Group, Tebbert Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tebbert Lincoln and Chantilly, and Tebbert Chevrolet in Sterling, all home to Tebbert for lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at tedbritt.com.